Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bova Metzia Daf Tzadi Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in the margin, where we have a Nosei heading, a topic heading, which reads, "E Meshicha Kena B'Shamim." The issue is, does drawing an item establish the relationship of Shmira, of guarding, of watching an item? Nafka Mina, this issue of drawing an item, establishing the bond or the connection between the Bailey and the item has bearing on the case of borrowing. B'sho'el, a borrower who is one of the four types of shomrim. Shemoshach chefetz, he drew an item that he's interested in borrowing. Ha'im ha'mashil yochol lachzor bo, can the owner back out and say, give it back to me? Of course, we mean immediately. Omar Rav Huna, we turn to the Gemara, again, 15 lines from the bottom. Omar Rav Huna, Hasheil Kardoim Mechavero, one who borrows an axe from his friend, Boka Bo Kono, if he chopped with it, he acquires it, Lo Boka Bo, Lo Kono. If he hasn't used it, he has not acquired it. Lemai, what do we mean by that? Use acquires, non-use, not acquired. Ilema la'insin, if the consideration is with regard to being obligated for any mishap that befalls the item, the axe, well, what is the reason that that would depend on his use of it? My shno pora de mishas she'ela, what would be the reason for a distinction between the axe and the case of the borrowed cow, where we know from the point that you draw it, even without the actual use of it, the borrower is obligated to compensate for any mishap that befalls. So why is Rav Huna emphasizing the use of the item? Ela l'chazora. This has bearing on, chazora means backing out. And as we explained in our introductory remarks, the issue is, can the owner insist on its immediate return? Bokabo, if the borrower started using it, lo motzi hodar be mashil, the owner cannot back out and insist on its immediate return. Let us assume, for argument's sake, there was an agreement that he would borrow it for 30 days. If he started using it, then the owner has to part with it, so to speak, for the next 30 days. He can't insist on its immediate return. Lo bokabo, if he merely drew the item, the borrower drew the item from the owner and didn't actually use it, motzi mashil hodarbe, the owner can back out. The explanation offered by Rashi over here is, and we can read it together just a couple lines down from here in the Rashi commentary, lo boka bo lo kono de kosover ein meshicha kene b'shomrim. This represents an opinion, namely Rav Huna represents an opinion that the mere drawing of the item doesn't establish the shmira bond. In other words, just by drawing it, we're still at a point where reversal is an option. Upliga de Rabbi Ami. The opinion of Rav Huna is at odds with the opinion of Rav Ami. Diyama Rabbi Ami, Hamashil Kardom Shel Hegdish, Mo'al lefi toivas hanoa sheboi, v'chaveiro muter levakea bo lechatchila. One who is, let us say, in charge of the base Hamikdash and all of its contents, its vessels, including in the, we'll say, the base Hamikdash shed or warehouse, are axes. One who loans an axe belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, he has violated the rules of Mi'ila. Mi'ila is the improper use of sanctified items, so that the official of the Beis HaMikdash that extended an axe to be borrowed to some member of the public, that individual has to pay an amount called toivas hanoa. That's a value that we establish in terms of how much benefit does this individual have by having ingratiated himself with the borrower. In other words, the borrower feels beholden to the one who loaned him the axe. So that has a value to it. Should we phrase it, the feeling of being obligated to, I owe you one, as they say, to having found favor in someone's eyes. So that amount is what the one who loaned out the axe of Hegdish would have to pay. Now the one who received it can use it. Once it was transferred from the Beis HaMikdash to the borrower, it left its, we'll say, its status of holiness. And the borrower now can use it. Do we see any use of the item in this din of Ravami? No. And the Gemara goes on to say, V'ilo kanoi, if the member of the public, the borrower, didn't acquire it through the drawing of it, amai mual, why would the official of the Beis HaMikdash be guilty of that sin of me'ila, inappropriate use of Hegdish funds? V'amai chaveroi muter levakea bo lechatchila. And why would Ravami have said that the borrower can use it straight out? Nehadre velo likne velo limol. Let it simply be returned without his having said to acquire it and avoid the me'ila sin. And yet Ravami said, not so. Ravami said that by the mere extending it of the extending of the kardom of the axe to that member of the public, finished. That's it. The me'ila sin has been violated. The user can use it straight out. L'chadchila means not post facto, but as a first choice he can use it. Because once it was extended to him in a loan fashion, that caused its departure from the realm of Hegdish, and now it becomes viewed as a common item. So we see from Reb Ami's din that a transfer of domain, and we'll call it point of no return, is based on the drawing of the item, not the use of the item, pitting Reb Ami against Rav Huna. Let's continue. We didn't note, but the triangle that you see is the first of two triangles, which are featured on the side and under the Mivneh. Let's read what we have noted. Deos, these represent opinions, Shecholkos al Rav Huna. Shomar Ein Mashiach HaKoyin. Rav Huna said that the mere drawing doesn't establish a bond, a connection. And these opinions, we see Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Lazar, they hold otherwise. So let's continue in the Gemara. Upliga, that is, Rav Huna is at odds to Rebbe Lazar. And at odds with Rebbe Lozer's ruling, the Omer Rebbe Lozer, Kederach Shetiknu Meshicha Belekuchais, Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomrim. Now, notice we dashed underlined the key phrase that the rabbis established, that drawing establishes the Shomer bond with the item. And we made reference to one of the four Shomrim is the Shoel, the borrower. So that this opinion, that of Rebbe Lozer, who says drawing establishes the bond, and Rav Huna said otherwise. Tanyo Nami Hachi. And a Tanaic source that bears this out as well. Kishem Shetiknu Meshicha B'Lekuchos, Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomrim. Just like Meshicha is a deal clincher. Lekuchos means purchasers. We didn't explain that before when Rebbe Lozer said it, but here we see it again in the Tanaic source that Meshicha, one of the forms of acquisition, is binding in the case of sales, meaning after Meshicha is done, the deal is clinched, the seller cannot back out. So too, Meshicha is a clincher by Shomrim. And in the case of a Shoel, for example, the owner cannot back out and insist on his item back simply after the Meshicha is done, even without the actual use of it. Ukeshem, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Shekarka Niknes Bekesef Ubishtar Ubechazoka, just like real estate is acquired, obviously not through Meshicha, you can't draw real estate. Drawing is characteristic of portables, not land. So how are land deals clinched? Either through kesef, through payment of cash, shtar, a title, a contract, or chazoka, use of it by the purchaser. Kach schirus nikne bekesef ubishtar ubechazoka. So too, rental is achieved through kesef, shtar, and chazoka. Now, Rashi points out that the thinking right now is schirus of behema and kalim, means of animals and vessels. Now, to that, the Gemara reacts, schirus maya vidite, since when does the rental of portables, since when is their rental, the rent relationship established by Kesef Shtar and Chazaka? They are acquired through drawing. How can you have Chazaka without drawing? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Chisda, Schirus Karka. This source is a rental as a reference to the rental of land. So if you're renting, let us say, a house, which is a form of real estate, by the payment of money or a contract, or the renter lives in it for a moment, or uses it in a way that an owner would use it, that is the point of no return, meaning the schirus is locked in for the period that they established between themselves. As you can see, we have a slash mark, which indicates a new trend of thought. On the side, under our no say, we indicate, Ha'im yesh lahashris din hegyot l'din hegdish be'inyin tashlumim. Should we compare the approach that we take to commoners to the approach that we take with holy funds with regard to payment? That's a rather general statement. We'll appreciate it more as we see the Gemara itself. There is a structural note that we should take note of. Roman numerals 1 and 2, where Shmuel's name is circled in the Gemara text. Under our Mivnah, our structural note, we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Dinim Shel Shmuel, two laws, two teachings of Shmuel. Number 1, Nireh, in case 1, it appears, Sheshmuel Mechalek Bein Din Hedyot L'Din Hegdish. Shmuel makes a distinction between the approach taken to Hedyot, to commoners, versus the realm of Hegdish, holiness, And number two, Nireish Shmuel lo made din hedyot mi din hegish, where Shmuel derives the law as applied to hedyot from the law as applied to hegdish. Later in the Gemara, we'll see that Shmuel reverses his position with regard to one of these two teachings. Now, the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Hayman de Gozil Chavitza de Tamri Mechaveroi. One who stole a clump of dates stuck together. Chavitza de Tamri. Dates stuck together. You can imagine something like a cake of stuck dates. In this particular case, we'll speak about 50 dates that were stuck together. They were stolen. The Gemara goes on, V'ispo chamishim tamri, and there are 50 of them stuck together. Agav hadodi mizdavnon be chamishim nun is the letter nun is the has the numerical equivalence of 50. But here it says benun chichada. That means 50 minus 1, and you can see we've written in between the lines 49. If taken to the market, a person could sell such an item, 50 dates stuck together, for 49. We'll say 49 cents. Chada chada, if the dates would be sold one by one, mizdavnon bechamishim. They would be sold for 50 cents, 1 cent per date. Now, we have a thief, he owes, and he stole them, and he ate them. How does he compensate the victim? Lehedyot mishalem chamshin nechichada. If they were stolen from a commoner, so he pays 49. Lehedish, if they had been sanctified dates, mishalem chamishim, he has to pay 50, v'chumshayu, and add a fifth. So he pays 50 plus a fifth of 50. A fifth of 50 isn't necessarily 10. It might be a little more. So you would take the amount 50, divide it into four parts. You would get 12 and a half, and add that to the new number, 62 and a half. That 12 and a half would then represent a fifth of that. That's a matter of it's a detail that's discussed elsewhere. Is chumsha milabar or chumsha milagav. Either way, when you're dealing with the payment needed to be made to hegdish for someone who stole and enjoyed and benefited from hegdish, he adds a fifth. Masha'en kein bemazik. In contrast to someone who damages Hegdish without benefiting from it, the lo mishalem chumsha, there he wouldn't add a fifth. The Omar Mar ish ki yochal kodesh prat lemazik. The posuk that makes reference to adding a fifth speaks of one eating a form of benefit from Hegdish, from holy items, to the exclusion of one who merely damaged them. So, we've seen Shmuel's, we'll say, distinction between how costs or amounts or values are refunded to Hedyot versus the way we deal with offering compensation to Hegdish. Maskif lo Rav Bevai Bar Abaye. Rav Bevai raises an objection. Lehedyot amay mishalem chamshin nechichada. Why, when it comes to compensating the private individual, the commoner, was 49 sufficient? Neimale, couldn't the commoner say to the thief, so to speak, Ano chado chado have mizavnino lehu? I was going to sell them one by one. And as such, they would have yielded 50. So you deprived me, by stealing it, you deprived me of 50. Amar Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna explains the basis of, we'll say, the more lenient assessment from a Tanaic source in Maseches Bava Kama. There, the Gemara discusses an animal that descended into someone's field, ate a row of vegetation, a row from within a large field where there are many rows. And the Gemara there says, the Mishnah says, Shomen Beisa Ba'oisis Sadet Tanan. We evaluate the Beisa is a an area measure within the field. We look at a field that contains, we'll say, many Beisas of area. What is the value of one unit of the field? And then we would assess how much less is that base saw worth because of the absence of that row of vegetation. Which is another way of saying that we don't come down hard on the one who has a debt, who owes the money. In that case, you're dealing with mazik, a damager. In our case, you're dealing with a thief. But either way, when it comes to compensation, we don't look at it in a severe fashion. What would the severe fashion be? What would be the stringent or harsh approach? That would be if you were to look at the row of vegetation in isolation. How much would one row, how much is the vegetation growing in one row worth? Rather, as we said before, we don't look at it in isolation. That would yield a higher price. You look at it as part of a larger picture. And as we said, how much is the larger area, how much less is the larger area of vegetation worth as a result of the absence of this particular row? That difference is what the damager would have to pay. Similarly, we said above, Shmuel said above, when we look at how much the thief owes, we don't look at the maximum yield the owner could have received for his dates, but rather the bulk unit is how Shmuel ruled. Which, as you can see, is when you buy things on a bulk rate, so the total value will be less than had you bought it on a unitized individual basis. Now we continue in the Gemara. Lemaimra de Savar Shmuel, are you suggesting then that according to Shmuel, Din Hedyo Lav Kidin Gavoa Domi, that the way we rule with regard to the individual, the commoner, is not the way we would rule with regard to heaven? In other words, there's two different standards, Vahatanan. Here we have a Tanaic source which deals with Hegdish, and shortly thereafter, Shmuel will derive the way we approach a commoner from this din, the din that deals with Hegdish. So it says, Notal Evan Okora me Hegdish lo moal. If the temple, the Beis Hamikdash treasurer, takes a stone or a beam that is part of the Beis Hamikdash funds, dealing with something was sanctified, and it's part of the Beis Hamikdash holdings. Once the Gizbar, the temple treasurer, takes it from the Beis Hamikdash storehouse, that does not constitute mi'ila. We spoke about this violation earlier, personal benefit from the forbidden personal benefit from sanctified funds. Nosno lechavero, if the treasurer, after taking it, he then gives it to a friend of his, a commoner, who moal v'chaveru lo moal. The treasurer is guilty of the me'ilah sin, the receiver is not. when we speak about Mi'ilah, as we indicated before, the removal from the realm of Hegdish causes the item to become common, mundane. So the Chavero, the customer here, the client, or I should say the customer, the member of the public, received something that in effect is now common, not sanctified. Let us go back to the Gizbar for another example. Bona'a the Gizbar takes the beam of Hegdish and Bona'a besoch beso. He places it on the ceiling of his house. Let's say one of the ceiling rafters. He places this korah, the beam that was sanctified, above his house on the ceiling of his house. Lo mo'al ad shiyodur tachtel b'shofa pruta. The gizbar is not said to be in violation of deriving personal benefit until he dwells under this ceiling a pruta worth of dwelling. So you have to calculate how much do people pay for renting rooms, and you would figure if he pays $100 a month, so a pruta, which is say $1, would be living there for a certain number of hours. So whatever the case is, once he lives under it, once he dwells under that Hegdish beam that he placed upon his ceiling, that amount, it's a very small amount of time, the amount of time that would be worth a shavar pruta, then worth a shavar pruta, worth that smallest denomination of currency, at that point the gizbar, the temple treasurer, has violated the sin of mi'ilah by deriving personal benefit. V'yosef Rabbi Avol kamei de Rabbi Yochanan v'yosef v'kolmar mishmei de Shmuel. Rabbi Avol said over to Rabbi Yochanan that which he heard in the name of Shmuel, Zois Oimeres, from this Tanaic source we derive, Hador b'chotzer chaveru shalom idaito, one who dwells in his friend's courtyard, in his friend's property, without the owner's knowledge, tzorach la'alos lo schar. He, the dweller, has to pay for it. What's the connection? Well, just like in the case of the Beis Hamikdash, the gizbar took it without the knowledge of Hegdish. He took it without the boss's knowledge. And we saw that he must pay. So too, in common behavior, if one dwells in a property owned by someone without the owner's knowledge, he must pay. Well, you can see that we've reached the end of our long question. Above, it seemed that Shmuel made a distinction between Hedyot and Hegdish. Here, Shmuel is connecting or deriving the rules of Hedyot commoners from the rules of Hegdish. The Gemara responds to this question by saying, Hodar be Shmuel me'ahi. Shmuel reverses himself. He changed his mind from the second teaching. Umimai de me'ahi hodar be. How do you know that he reversed himself from the second teaching, namely the deriving the din of Hedyot from the din of Hegdish? Dilmei meho hodar. Maybe from the first teaching is where he reversed himself. Lo, this is not so. Me'ahi hodar be. From the second teaching he reversed himself. Kidirova, based on Rova. Diyoma Rova, Hegdish shelo midas, kehedyot midas domi. The example of the gizbar drawing the item from Hegdish, where you would say he did it without someone's approval, without someone's knowledge, that if you want to parallel Hegdish, you would parallel it to a case of Hedyot Midas, where someone, and I'm going to use I'm adding the Rosh commentary that you find in the Shita Mekubetzes, where he describes the hedyot midas as a situation where someone comes along and under the protest of the owner parks himself in that fellow's property. That's hedyot midas, where the owner knows and the rush adds and the owner protests, and you dwell there, you live there, you certainly are going to, you will certainly have to pay the balabayas, the owner. What do we mean by hegdish shelo midas? Well, you can see in the Rishonim, you can actually see this in Rashi as well. When you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, the realm of holiness, what do you mean lo midas? He didn't know. Who's the he didn't know? The hegdish is associated, we'll call it the divine, it's divine territory, it's God's realm. And you're taking without approval from the hegdish is, in fact, with God's knowledge. So if you want to parallel the hedyot to hegdish, when taking from hegdish, the Torah says, look, the items of hegdish are there. Let it be known. If you take them and derive personal benefit from them, you are in violation of Mila. The Torah having stated that, when it actually transpires that someone extracts an item from the temple treasury, that is with God's knowledge, God's awareness, and you're dealing with, as we said, the divine realm. So if you're going to try to draw parallels, you would do that with a case of hedyot dwelling in a person's property with the owner's awareness. And there you can understand, there you certainly would have to pay. But to extend the law regarding hegdish to a case of hedyot shelomidas, that's going too far. And hence Shmuel reversed himself from his second teaching, where in his second teaching he spoke in terms of dwelling in someone's realm shelomidata, without the owner's knowledge. In the final picture, that case of owners, of commoners, common owners' non-knowledge is not similar to the case of hegdish shelomidas. Omar Rova, Hani Shkuloi. Shkuloi are people that move items. They're porters. The Tavru Chavisa de Chamra le Chanva. In the course of their moving barrels of wine, they broke a Tavru is like the word shavru, the tav and shin interchange in Hebrew. Shavar is to break. So they broke chavisa, a barrel of chamra, of wine, that was going to be sold by a store owner. Chenva is a person who, in general, it's a reference to stores, and very often it has a specific connotation of a place where wine is sold. So these fellows broke and caused a loss to the owner. Beyoyma deshuka mizdavno behei. Hey is five. On market day, a barrel of wine is sold for five. Beshar yoyme, on other days, mizdavno ba'arba. There's less demand, so the price falls. It's sold for four. Ahadru le b'yoyma deshuka, mahadru le chavisa dechamra. If they are going to compensate the store owner before market day arrives, they are to restore or repay with a barrel of wine. Bishar yomi, on other days meaning market day has passed, it's not coming up for a while, so on other days, mehadru lay, they will pay. Now here we have a situation where there's the gra, the Vilna Gaon, and his Hagoyis Gra on the side, lower margin, you can see offers different opinions, but in our Gemara we have five is printed. So if it's on, if the repayment is going to be on days after market day, he'll pay. They would pay five. So once again, if it's the repayment is going to be made prior to market day, they provide a barrel of wine, and he'll sell that like he would have sold his own barrel before it broke. If it's on other days, they pay five. And Rashi explains, because the store owner can say, had I had the barrel on market day, I would have been able to sell it for five. Now market day has passed, so pay me five, the amount I could have made. V'lo amoron, this ruling that they pay five, elo delo have le chamro lezuni, where it's he had no other wine for sale. Aval have le chamro lezuni, had he had other barrels of wine for sale and didn't sell them, ha ibaya le lezuni, then one of those he should have sold, and in that case where he had other barrels, these porters are expected to repay him simply a barrel of wine. Rashi in the lower part of the page says, "Aval havi le chamra lezvuni velozovin." This store owner, had he had other barrels of wine and didn't sell them, goli daite, that he reveals himself as the lohavi masvin. He wasn't going to sell necessarily the one that they broke. Velo mishalmi elo chavisa de chamro. And they have to replace a barrel of wine. Now, Rashi goes on based on the Gemara we're about to read. So let's just read in Rashi just a couple more words as introduction to the Gemara. V'chi mahashri leinami chamisha, and in the event that they pay him the five, the case where the store owner had no other barrels left, so they'll pay him the five. How did we explain that? We explain because the owner he could have argued, had I had that barrel that you broke, I would have been able to sell it for five. Now, anyone who is familiar with basic commerce knows that in order to make the five, in order to profit that five, he would have incurred expenses. So the five that he receives is not a net profit. It's an amount from which he would have to pay advertising costs, other costs. So the law, the halacha takes that into consideration. And when they pay him the five, the amount he could have made, menaki luhu chenvoni me chamisha agar tircha kapoyo bottle, kamu rotze litol mishol of limkor yayin, Leishe v'lo limkor yayin, chovis achas, pruta pruta v'yeshev botel. How much would a person like that be willing to sit by and not sell and not make all of that money? So it's a certain, we'll say a certain, it's a lesser amount than people are willing to pay, we'll say, for convenience, for not working hard. If you give me a little less, that'll be fine as long as I don't have to work for it, so to speak. So the Gemara says, let's read this now in the Gemara. Umenaki le agar tirche udeme barzenaisa. And the owner, the store owner, who's going to receive compensation from these porters that broke his barrel, they are expected to come up, we'll say, with five. However, the store owner will subtract from the five the Pircha, he's now getting paid, but he didn't have to go through selling the wine barrel had it not been broken. So he saved himself Tircha, he saved himself efforts. He was spared from efforts that he otherwise would have had to exert himself in selling. So that difference is an amount, and he'll subtract that. And Demei Bar Zenaisa, Rashi explains that it's a he actually has two explanations. One of them has to do with the amount that the owner would have had to pay for a craftsman to make a hole in the barrel from which he would have extracted the wine. In this case, the barrel never came to be. It was broken before it came to the shop. So the owner was spared of that expense as well. So he subtracts that as well from what the porters will have to pay. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.